Welcome to Making Change, a podcast of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I'm Hilde Gottlieb, author of The Pollyanna Principles and co-founder of Creating the Future, where our mission is to make visionary community improvement the norm for social change efforts rather than the exception. It is my privilege to host this podcast, where we talk with change leaders from around the world about this sector's potential for creating visionary social change. I'm so pleased to welcome Craig Newmark as my guest today on Making Change. Craig is known to most people as the founder of Craigslist. He's less known, however, for his recent endeavor, Craig Connects, where Craig is using the lessons he learned from Craigslist to connect community organizations to the help they need, and most importantly, to each other. Given almost two decades of helping people connect, over things as mundane as selling a car or finding a roommate, to the big issues that affect our democracy and our world, it's my pleasure to have Craig Newmark share his observations with us today here on Making Change. My guest today on Making Change is Craig Newmark. Welcome, Craig.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
I am very, very glad you're here. With such a distinguished career and leaping into a whole new place of giving your gifts, as you look over the social change arena, as you look over the way the world works, what do you see creating change? What is it that's undergirding change when it's happening?
What I think I see, what's always been true of people, is that people will give each other a break, will help each other out. Something new is happening in that people are using the net to facilitate that, which means that people are helping each other out in greater numbers. And I think more effectively, the net, in a way, changes expectations by making this mutual help and collaboration visible. And I'm hoping it's making it a matter of expectation, something normal.
Oh, I love that. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Craig Connects?
With Craig Connects, the deal is that it's my way of standing up for the causes and the nonprofits helping out. I figure I can get the word out about them. I can help them with social media. And the idea is that I'm promoting them for the short term, helping out and doing something real. In the long term, my intent is to help everyone on the net connect over a 20-year period for everyone's individual idea of what the common good is.
Oh, I would love to know more about that. How are you thinking that'll work?
Well, in the long run, the idea is just to keep plugging away, getting people connected, trying to figure out how to cross silos when it comes to helping organizations, whether they're nonprofits or governmental or other variants. This is a big problem I didn't anticipate a year ago when I plunged in. It's illustrated, I guess, best in the military families and veterans space, where they have what they call the sea of goodwill problem. Lots of groups trying to help out people, but it's hard for people to work together. No one's quite figured out how to make that happen.
So one of the things that you're finding with military families, what are you finding?
Basically, there's a number of groups doing really good work, like Blue Star Families, the National Military Families Alliance or Association, and for that matter, the Bob Woodruff Foundation. People are doing good work, but everyone's operating in their own silo. Now, that's true of all organizations. Right. People aren't good at crossing silos, but I feel it's real important for that to happen in the nonprofit world.
Tell me a little bit about what Craig Connects is doing to help cross those silos.
Frankly, what I'm trying to do right now is to work with multiple groups simultaneously in ways that are visible to all the above. That is, when I email one group something, I'm actually emailing multiple groups, and then I just keep repeating that, setting the expectation that people are going to work together.
It's got to be something that you saw happen quite a lot when you started Craigslist and community people and nonprofit people were starting to connect there.
Well, Craigslist as a platform is a place on the net for people to give each other a break, to help each other out. And I've seen people do that. It's been 17 years now, and it actually works to that effect, whether people are acting as individuals or part of commercial or nonprofit groups. Given the chance, and with a little bit of expectation, people will give each other a break. The deal is, well, to create a good place for that to happen, and then to see real human behavior, and maybe to nurture it a little bit.
What does have to be in place for people to have that expectation? You've clearly created something at Craigslist that makes people feel like connecting is what they would do. What has to be in place for that to happen?
It's hard to articulate because it has to do with the personality of the site. Somehow the tone of the site, the personality, is that of people just communicating with people. There's none of the, let's say, corporate or a conventional nonprofit tone, just people getting to the point and helping out. I feel like I'm talking around it when I say that because something real is happening.
People do know when they think of Craigslist that they are expecting to connect with other people. Is that what you were thinking when you started it?
When I started it, I had no thoughts, no vision. I just thought I should give back a little bit because people had helped me out on the net. And this is 94 through early 95. So I just started an events list in early 95. And listened to feedback, did something about it, and then listened to more feedback. And I guess that's part of the personality of the site. Mm-hmm. These days, Jim Buckmaster continues that tradition. I am in no management role at all.
But you're clearly moving into not so much management, but really that connecting role in how you're building Craig Connects. It's not just you.
That's right. I have a team of folks, including people with expertise in the nonprofit sphere, people who know social media, people who know communications in ways that overlap. And I guess I set direction and ultimately make decisions, but I kind of know when to get out of the way. And getting out of the way is an important life skill, I guess.
I think in anything from running an organization to being a parent, knowing when to get out of the way.
It's a difficult lesson. In a sense, it's, well, not far from knowing when to delegate. And that's part of what I'm doing also.
Yeah. Now, what made you choose to dive into more community benefit kind of work than the stuff you were doing at Craigslist?
I guess it just felt right. But I should add that Craigslist itself is a community service.
Right.
I mean, our business model is pretty much doing well by doing good. And that's worked out well as a company. Again, ultimately, it's about people giving each other a break and providing a platform for doing that.
Now, the short-term piece of what Craig Connects is doing, you're working directly with organizations. How is that working?
Well, my team and I are working directly with organizations. At some point, something gets my attention for one reason or another, then it becomes obvious if it makes any sense at all to me. In the case of the veterans group, I started talking to people, including a bunch of veterans, then talking to more folks, figuring that, yeah, this is an important area. After all, if someone's going to go overseas and risk a bullet to protect me, I can give back at least a little. The idea is that sometimes I'm the person acting hands-on. Sometimes when it requires someone with specific nonprofit expertise, I get help from a coworker because, frankly, I'm a nerd. I think like an engineer. And, you know, that that makes me a fish out of water when it comes to nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. So what makes you want to do more? What do you find will excite something in you?
I guess as a nerd, I read science fiction. And I figure it's important for me to help invent the future, or maybe I should say fix the future, which is similar to your own formulation.
We call it creating the future.
And this feels like what I should be doing with my life. I'm pretty bad at having fun, but it feels right to do this stuff we're talking about. And military families is one major area for me. There are others. One of them has to do with, well, I keep telling people that the press is the immune system of democracy. We need news that we can trust. And, you know, I'm very aware that I'm not in that industry. I'm an outsider. But I want news I can trust. And I think there's a tremendous hunger for that. So I'm working with people, figuring out how to move this ahead, how to restore fact-checking back to news, and how to get people to demand trustworthy news. Again, I'm an outsider, but, you know, the country needs trustworthy news.
I'm struck by when you're talking about the press and that people need news they can trust. I'm struck by the similarity of what you created with Craigslist, probably not even with any conscious intention, but what is at Craigslist is a place where, in essence, people are trusting the information they're getting. And in places where they should be skeptical, if I'm going to buy a car, I'm going to be skeptical. But everyone is sharing information in a very open way where you sort of do trust that people are being honest and forthright. And it seems like that's there may be a recipe there for what you're seeing in the news and the press.
Well, the deal is that people are normally trustworthy and good. There are exceptions, and we tend to exaggerate them, probably for evolutionary reasons. The deal is, well, you have to be careful. People are trustworthy. And the idea is that, unfortunately, we expect what we hear in the news to be trustworthy. But, you know, fact-checking has become an expensive luxury, and you don't see a lot of it anymore.
Yeah, we need a Craigslist for the news.
Well, part of my Craig Connects efforts involves working with people, doing serious work along those lines. The deal is, I do feel this decade is pivotal in human history, and that view was reinforced. I just read a short history of Gutenberg, Jeff Jarvis, one of the people in the news industry who I rely on. Just today, he published a short piece called Gutenberg the Geek. I tell him I prefer nerd, but and the deal is that we are repeating, let's say, that big chunk of social change, which not only involved Gutenberg but Martin Luther, but we're compressing decades, I think, into one decade.
It is remarkable to watch what has happened. It has been remarkable to watch how the ability to connect and, yes, to trust and have the expectation of trust, and how that made a marked effect in the Arab Spring last year. Tell me a little bit about what you observed about that.
What I've observed in the Arab Awakening, as well as in a whole bunch of areas, when it's very easy for people to connect, they see that they have a lot in common. We're not talking just isolated expressions of democracy, but all of a sudden the people who want things to get better can see that a lot of other people want things to get better. That means that it's ready for people to get into the street and to do real things. And we've seen that not only in the Mideast, we see it in the U.S. with the Obama campaign. We see it in the more genuine grassroots of the Tea Party. We see it happening in Russia right now. And I think it's the biggest thing happening because, you know, it's not new.
Right.
It happened 200 years ago with the American Revolution, and it happened with Gutenberg and Martin Luther. People use technology to make things happen. The difference now is the internet is available to everyone.
Right.
The cost of entry is low.
Yep.
That's true in the U.S. and the developing and the developed world.
Right.
And via cell phone technology, it's becoming increasingly true everywhere.
People tend to get wrapped in the tools and emphasize the tools, but really it doesn't really matter what the tool is, whether it's a printing press or a cell phone, that it's the ability to connect.
You're right. The deal is that Ben Franklin, Thomas Paine, John Locke, they were bloggers, even if we don't normally call them that. They're doing the same kind of stuff. And, you know, they created a lasting social change. I think we're seeing that now. I'm hoping we'll see major shifts of power this year, probably by 2016. And I'm pretty convinced we'll see it for sure by 2020.
Okay, so if we're creating that future, what are you seeing? What are you predicting?
I'm thinking that advertising, including political advertising and fact-checking and so on, will move to the net from TV. Mm-hmm. And one effect of that is that the cost of running campaigns may drop dramatically because the cost of net-based advertising, that's much less than TV-based advertising. But I also think we're going to see the balance of power shift a lot from people with money and nominal power to people working together, if they can actually just work together and collaborate in meaningful ways. I'm not talking revolution in any sense.
Right.
I'm talking about a rebalance of power where everyone gets to play.
And if there is anything that you have created with Craigslist and are clearly very thoughtfully doing with Craig Connects, it is absolutely rebalancing and allowing everyone to really connect together. I'm so glad we've had this opportunity to talk. I'm really excited about what you're doing and looking forward to following along. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and thanks.
Speaking with Craig, several themes emerge. And if you look at his life's work, those themes are evident not only in the work itself, but in the success that work has found. Over and over, we hear Craig talk about setting the expectation that people will work together, that they will, in his words, give each other a break. We hear him talk about the power of those connections, the events that naturally occur when people let down their guard and connect from the heart. We also hear Craig talk about the importance of creating the space for that connection to happen. That's what he did without realizing he was doing it at Craigslist, and it's what he is doing consciously with Craig Connects. What becomes clear, though, in talking with Craig, is that he doesn't just see connecting as something to do. He appears to see every issue and every function through the lens of connecting. I love the simple example Craig gave of gently, quietly, unassumingly CCing all parties in all his emails, setting the expectation that those people will connect. In something as simple as an email, Craig shows that we don't have to create a world-changing website to create the space for connection to happen. It's just what happens when we make connection the lens through which we see everything. Which leads to questions for your own work. If you were to see every encounter and every task through the lens of connecting, what would that make possible for your work? And what would it make possible for your community? Look at your to-do list for today. If you were to use Craig's approach to email, who might you CC on your own emails to connect them to the conversation and to each other? What might change in the way you work with other organizations and in the way you work with community members if you trusted that people would connect? If you assumed that given the opportunity, people would give each other a break, what would it make possible if that was your expectation? As you begin exploring these big questions, I hope you'll share your observations at the Chronicle's website, philanthropy.com, or at Creating the Future's Facebook page at facebook.com/creatingthefuture. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Making Change. If you have ideas for guests for this podcast, folks who are driving new ways of thinking about what it takes to create visionary social change, please get hold of me through our website at creatingthefuture.org or on Twitter at Hilde Gottlieb. Thanks for listening and for wanting to create a better future for your community and our world. For the Chronicle of Philanthropy, I'm Hilde Gottlieb. We'll see you the second Thursday of next month here on Making Change.